First Peter chapter 3. Let's read some verses here. I'm going to preach on tonight, if the Lord will help me here for a few minutes, the hypocrites that leave the church. This will be a real popular message. A lot of people are listening to these, so especially these messages. So I want to make sure that we get this one in there. 1 Peter chapter 3, let's read verses 10 through 16. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Don't ever forget that. And his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against him that doeth evil. Need to remember that too. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you of a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evil doers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Then in Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, Jesus said this in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely." Key word right there, falsely. "For my sake." That's another key phrase there. "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." So, we're going to talk about the hypocrites that leave the church. I thought all the hypocrites stayed in the church, because that's what the church is made of, is hypocrites. Right? Well, if you ask the right people, that's what their opinion is. But first, I want to say this. I'm going to say a few things here before we get into that side of it. We'll say a few things just to clarify and make the waters clear here. Let me say that there are certainly many times when people who leave a church have been done wrong. I mean, how in the world can anybody deny that? It's a fact. Offenses are part of life in any kind of social setting. Anywhere where people get together, there's going to be offenses. People are going to do things that offend each other on purpose and ignorantly and mindlessly and foolishly. You know, avoid foolish jesting. That's not good. There's a horseplay. Horseplay, you know, on a job, that's a bad deal. Horseplay. Hard to get it stopped when it gets started. And it always gets out of hand. And that's kind of how it is in church, too. I've seen lots of offenses in church just out of horseplay and foolish jesting. Jesus said in Luke chapter 17 and verse 1, says this, "Then said he unto his disciples, It is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come." It's impossible for people to live together, work together, go to church together without somebody... without having trouble between them. So, I don't think anybody here would say, and if you did, nobody would believe you, if you said, "Well, we don't ever have any trouble at our house. I mean, everybody's just happy and loving and kind all the time, and nobody's ever does anything wrong to anybody else." I don't believe anybody would say that. We know it's true, don't we? It happens at home. It happens at school. It happens at work. It happens everywhere. So it'll happen in church too. It's the way it's going to be. But there are an abundance of scriptures that instruct us and command us concerning the issue of being offended. and how we're to deal with it biblically and righteously before God. Well, in the first place, we shouldn't be easily offended at all by anything. We all know that verse, don't we? Psalm 119:165. What does it say? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing, that's right, nothing shall offend them. Well, is that true? People get it mixed up because I'm offended by profanity. I am. But this verse means, to offended strictly means to cause to stumble. It puts a stumbling block. I mean, you trip them up. So if we understand that verse properly, that's what we understand. Not that didn't hurt you won't have your feelings hurt. Nothing will bother you. It just runs off of you like water off a duck's back. No, that ain't what it means. It just means that you ain't going to quit. And you ain't going to change colors because somebody, you know, did something that hurt you. Right. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. With all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. That's how the church is supposed to be. Now, this is instructions to the church, to Christian people, followers of Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. You know what for means? It's before. That prefix on that word means you, what does it mean to bear? Bear you one another's burdens. Carry it. Yeah. Carry it. Take the load off. Forbearing. That means do it beforehand. That means know it's coming and be prepared to do it before they do it. And forgiving one another, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So there, that pretty well ties it up. There's still another verse here that I wanted to read. It's in Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 32, I like this verse. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Well, that kind of does away with getting mad, getting hurt, and then going away, leaving the church, and hating everybody there and calling them hypocrites. That kind of does away with all that, don't it? So people that do that are not really Bible believers, are they? And if they say they're Bible believers and they're Christians and they're followers of Christ, but they do that, what are they? They're hypocrites. They're pretending to be something they're not. That's a hypocrite. They're saying they're one thing, but everything else about them is different than that. But in spite of this, there can be people in any church who are offensive. I know this. Believe me. How could I not know it after being in church 46 years? How could I not know what church is like? How could I not have seen everything there is to see? Well, I'm still here. A lot of people I know left, but I'm still here. Why am I still here? Have I never been hurt in church? has nobody ever done me wrong?
Yeah, that's right.
So what? I just read you the scriptures that tell me how I'm supposed to respond to it, and same applies to you and everybody else. Right. So what about these people? They ignore all of that. And they hate everybody at church, and they quit church, and they go completely to the world, and all I've got to say is slanders and condemning insults about it, people that go to church, especially the ones who offended them. I've seen situations, you know, there's always going to be people in church who are offensive, condemning, and even false accusers. They're always going to be in churches. People don't expect that. They don't, somehow, you know, they believe that that's just not true, but it is true. And the smaller the church, the easier it is to keep all that under control. The bigger the church, the harder it is to keep all that under control. It's out of control when you get so many people. Well, I've even seen situations where there really was no choice for the person or the family but to leave. I mean, I've seen it. So I know I'm saying these things before we really hammer down on this, these people who leave wrong. But I know this. I understand. I've had to leave before. But I never left mad. And I never left angry with the people. I've never left hating them. Never left speaking evil of them. Never have. But had to leave. So there's this thing. Not everybody that leaves a church is a hypocrite. So those who offend and condemn, but let me say this first, that's always a tragedy. And most of the time it ends up in the destruction of that family. So those who offend and condemn and spread false information about others in a church should be dealt with and not tolerated because of their money. Reckon that ever happens?
Of course.
Have I seen that happen? Yes, sir. Seen it happen. Didn't matter what they did, they had money, so nothing was said. Or because of their relatives in the church.
Yeah.
We've been accused of being a family church. Well, yeah, there's a lot of our family in here, but show me a church where it's not that way. Show me one. Somewhere. I've never seen any. Every church I've ever been around, in, associated with, there's always a lot of family in the church. It just goes with the territory. Noah had, who was in the ark with him? His family. Who helped him build the ark? His family. Nobody else. So, you're going to have family in church. But that shouldn't have anything to do with right and wrong. And people being offensive or hurtful to other people, doesn't matter who they're kin to. That shouldn't be any kind of a hindrance in dealing with them about their problem. Or they shouldn't be tolerated because of their money or their relatives in the church or the length of time they've been at that church. You know, a lot of people think that it works like seniority, you know. They've been there so long, they got more rights, more say-so than everybody else. They put more money in it. People think because they put more money in, they got more of a say-so. You just don't know how many times people have tried to buy their way in to churches. Oh, yes. It's easy when you got a hireling for a pastor, man. Them dollar signs, I mean, boy, listen, that'd make it all. We could do this and we could do that. So, but again, you know, this kind of situation is not always handled properly and with true godly charity. And this is also a tragedy and results in souls and families being lost to the world and the devil. And believe me, I've seen it through the years. So many times, and it's heartbreaking. Heartbreaking. Yeah. When that kind of stuff happens. So I want to make it clear that I do understand that people leave a church sometimes because they really don't have any other wise choice to make. Churches are like countries and other things where evil just takes over. Say, churches? Yes, sir. I've seen it, and there's no choice but to run. But when you do leave any kind of church, it should be left on as good a terms as possible. And if you're right with God, you will not leave bitter and angry and full of hatred and trying to destroy and undermine the ones you left. Now, I've seen a lot of people do this through the years, and that's the mark. That's the mark that tells you who's who. But it's also clear. Now, I've said all of that, but it's also clear to me after 40 years of preaching and being a part of churches that most people who leave a church offended do it because of manufactured offenses, not real ones. Now, that's what I've seen most of the time. I mean, I'm just telling you, that's what I've seen. The number one charge against the church when they leave is that the church is a bunch of hypocrites. I've seen teenagers do it. I've seen, middle-aged people do it. I've seen old people do it. The church is a bunch of hypocrites. And I've watched it through the years, so many circumstances, and it almost always, this is how it happens. Now I'm going to tell you the roadmap of it. And this is exactly how it happens. Every time. It begins when a family or a member of a family, especially the children of a family, begin to form their social circle outside the church family with worldly people and worldly activities. You understand what I'm saying? They make friends with worldly people. They make friends with, just like God warned Israel so many times about the Philistines and all the ites, don't make friends with them. Don't marry with them. Don't mess with them. They'll ruin you. It'll be your destruction. The same principle holds true. You got to come out from among them and be separate. And so this is how it always starts. They complain because the church keeps them too busy, but they always have time for anything else. That's amazing to me how that people can find time for anything and gripe about the time that we have at church. And so they begin filling their time with all these extra things. And if the church don't have something going on, they will fill those times with other things. They're not going to stay home during the weeknights and the weekends when the church ain't got nothing going on. They're not going to stay home, study their Bibles, and sing together and pray for the church. They're going to go somewhere in the world. They're going to fill it with worldly pleasures and things and people. That's what they're going to do. Fellowship with the world. They complain because the church keeps them too busy. They develop that appetite for what the world has to offer, and it spreads through that family. And they cannot forego worldly pleasures and associations like sports and movies and entertainment of all sorts, extravagant vacations like everyone else in the world. How in the world is it that every little minimum wage guy now, they go on Caribbean cruises and all of this? How is that? How is it that if a young couple gets married now and they don't go to Jamaica or the Bahamas or Mexico, they just got cheated? What in the world? Say, you're just mad because you can't do it. No, that's not it at all. You want to pay for it and see me say no? I ain't going. No. But I'm just saying the extravagance of it all is just beyond my imagination. That it's got to the point where now, everybody is going on a cruise somewhere, sometime. And who was it I was talking to the other day? They came back. They'd been on one. And they said, man, all that went on was, it was just a big bar, big floating bar. And everybody was just drinking and laying out there half naked all the time. And what'd you think it was going to be? You got Christian cruises, though. It's like the Christian nightclub I was talking about the other day, Everything, an imitation of the world. Just leave off. It's like your Minstos I was talking about the other day. You got Christian beer and Christian, well, they're going to have Christian pot next. So you can smoke weed and it's Christian. It's got it on it. It says it's got that fish on it, and that makes it all right. And we pray before we do it. Such nonsense as that. But I'm chasing rabbits here. Where am I at? Help me. I'm looking. I'll find. There it is. You know, and here I'm going to say some things. Some of you are going to burr at me, but camping and fishing and hunting and races and gym memberships, that's a big thing now. You know, nothing can interfere with these things. There ain't nothing wrong with going camping. But some people just get all, they can't just go camping and we went camping. We got to do it next weekend. Yes, sir. When's our next camping trip? Where can we go next? Yeah. Forget about church. I mean, the church is going to be a hindrance to that kind of stuff, you see. So when you get involved in that kind of realm and you start eating out of that trough, then pretty soon, boy, the church don't sound very good. They form friendships and alliances with worldly people and their children mix together, and the bad results soon appear. Oh my. How in the world is everybody so blind to this? Don't you know that what your children are around, they're going to pick up on? It doesn't take long before the church is looked at with displeasure and becomes so just an annoying obligation that interferes with their lives of worldly pleasures and fellowship. And you know that's right. Man, you ain't talking to somebody here tonight, or you're not hearing somebody talk that don't know what he's talking about. But this is experience of decades. I've watched this, and this is how it happens. All the time, every time. The people who remain in the church and don't follow the same path they're on become holier than thou's. And they think they're something. And they develop this contempt for those people. The worldly people who still come to church grudgingly and dissatisfied, they develop that attitude towards the ones who haven't indulged in the things they're indulging in. Haven't lost their minds yet. Or their hearts. They're the enemy now. They're looked at with contempt and disdain. I'm just telling you just exactly how it is. And it's inevitable that they're going to be offended by someone at church. Most likely the preacher. First. If he has the courage to say anything about their worldliness and waywardness, get mad at the preacher. He's the easiest one to get mad at. Because he's the most likely one to say something in front of everybody. And everybody knows who he's talking to. Me! They know where I was at last weekend. That's the truth. They immediately go to work. Well, but they'll still have the same amount of ire toward any person in the church who even looks at them in a way that they perceive as condemning, and their own hearts condemning them, see, because they know better. But they come to church, and if they just catch somebody looking, glancing over at them, it's like, huh, I don't know what they're thinking about me. Yeah. Holier than thou. Smart aleck. True. They immediately go to work on that person or persons or that preacher with a fine-tooth comb to find anything that they can portray as inconsistent or hypocritical in their words or their life. Digging up dirt, just like the mud-slinging politicians. That's what they do. Try to find out something. And if they can't find something, they make it up. Just like they did when they crucified the Lord. They make it up. That's an easy task to find some inconsistency or fault if you're looking for it and desiring to find it. How many of you will raise your hand and say, I'm good. Ain't nobody can find anything about me. I am sure. I've never said anything that wasn't consistent with everything else I've said. And I've never done anything that's contrary to what I say I believe. Ever. Well, I don't see no hands. So it's easy to find fault with other people. I was listening to a preacher the other day, and he said the wrong word. He said something, and it was the wrong word. He did, like me, see? I do that sometimes. He did it, and I heard it. He never caught it. But everybody else there heard it. So they could say, listen to that. You don't even know what he's talking about. You ever say the wrong word? You ever hear anybody say, what? Well, they have their justification. Aha! Found out something about them. They have their justification for leaving that church that is full of hypocrites. They justify themselves through their perceived or imagined faults of others. I've seen this happen so many times. And they leave, and they make sure that their very good reasons for leaving are known far and wide. And what a bunch of hypocrites that church is made of. Now that is the process. And it's always the same. And it's exaggerated greatly. Man, I put the wrong word down there. You ought to see what I wrote down. Oh my goodness. Let's fix that. They make a big mess, and that's the process, and it's always the same, but it's speeded up greatly if there's a Christian school in that church. I've never been in a church that had a Christian school that they didn't have big lots of problems with all of this right here. Because most of the time, it's the children that the adults get offended over and fight over. Nobody ever thinks that their kid will do anything wrong. And you know, I believe y'all, if their kid's done wrong, the pastor, whatever, whoever's dealing with it, ought to approach it delicately and gently. Because if you just march up to a mother and say, do you know how wicked your son is? That boy is wicked. Well, that's it. I mean, you've shut the door right then. They may know that he is, but they ain't going to stand there and let you say that about him. So, but you know, that's what I'm talking about. Then it's on. That's the end of that. That story is over. Now, it may take a few weeks or months, maybe even years, before it finally blows out, but it's going to. But it's over the children most of the time. Or if that church has and the pastor hold to any kind of standards of modesty and holy living and morality, it speeds up this process of people, what I've been talking about, how they leave, why they leave, and all that. It speeds it up. You have a lot more turnover if you have standards and morals and you preach on holiness, or if you have a Christian school. You know, bigger turnover. Now, it'd be wonderful if people could just see the truth about these matters. But that's not going to happen fully until we stand before God, and then all will see the truth. For 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 through 26, listen to this. And the servant of the Lord must not strive. That means fight. Strive, butt heads. You know, what did you call it? Strife. Servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. Those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. Those people who leave church angry and offended and hating the people, the pastor, and anything associated with that church, they are the true hypocrites. I can name you some names. They are? I've known people that left and didn't do that. I'm saying, they're not the hypocrites. The ones who who leave that way, they're hypocrites. Because they're thinking themselves to be better. Well, let me just keep on here. I've got it laid out like I want to present this. Their reasons for calling the church a bunch of hypocrites are usually over petty, ridiculous, and personal things. That's usually the way it is. Starts with nothing. Nothing. You know, I read a story the other day, and it's about the Old West, and said the sheriff was sitting in the saloon and said this woman come in screaming. They heard a shot out there, and she come in hollering, you know, and women didn't go in them places, but the sheriff was in there. She said, "This man just shot my duck." And so he went out there, and the guy had shot her duck. You know, he was wild and crazy, and he just shot the duck, just cause. So the sheriff had a 12-gauge shotgun with buckshot in it. And he said, "You know, you owe this woman for this duck. Are you going to pay her?" And he said, "You know, no, sir, I ain't a paying for no duck." And a few more words were said, and he went for his gun. So the sheriff shot him with two loads of buckshot. Well, he died over a duck. Over a duck. I've seen people leave church over things more petty than that. Fall out. Leave angry. Leave God. Leave the ways of God. Throw their family to the devil and destroy everything over something more petty than that. I have seen it all. They obviously have a great knowledge of what a Christian is supposed to be, and they hold others to that standard while they allow themselves liberty in everything. Have you ever noticed that? Okay, so, you know, they know you have done them wrong by, you know, saying their kid was doing things wrong. How is it that you're wrong for saying the facts? You know, I mean, I've been there. They had pictures. They had witnesses. I mean, everybody knew, but the parents. And the parents stand there and say, "You're all lying. It's not true." He wouldn't do that. And he wouldn't lie to me, or she wouldn't lie to me. Any parent that thinks their child would not lie to them, I don't know what's the matter with you. You just don't understand. Now, I don't want to believe that my children would lie to me, but I found out they will. I don't care how. Well, you can make the best liar in the world believe in that. You can create the best liar in the world believing that your kid won't lie. I've seen examples of that all my life. Dad talked about his cousin. That's what her mother would always say, you know. Said, "Well, she wouldn't lie to me." And she was lying like a dog. And she'd grin behind her mother's back at them while her mother believed her over them. That's the way it always is with parents who say, "My children wouldn't lie to me." Now, I know. Oh. Well, they know. They have a great knowledge of what a Christian is supposed to be, and they hold others to that standard while they allow themselves liberty and everything. These people that leave a church angry and mad and offended and upset and hating, they have a high standard for what a Christian is, but it doesn't apply to them. You know, they can drink, they can be immoral, they can forsake their family, they can live in the world and still think they're a better Christian than you are while you're still in church serving the Lord. Now, what do you call a person like that? A hypocrite. That's what they are. I remember preaching on this, not this message, but preaching on this subject, that most of the hypocrites are outside the church, not in the church. And I still believe that. So all the people are not hypocrites in any church. So they're falsely accusing good people and trying to blacken their names with false accusations. Churches, local churches, are made up of saved people and lost people. They're made up of good people and bad people. You ain't going to keep them out. But when you just blanket say, that church is a bunch of hypocrites, you're saying that about some good people who are not hypocrites. So you're falsely accusing. What does that make you? A liar and a hypocrite. They're the same thing. A hypocrite is a liar. Remember, we've talked about this on and on. And hypocrisy is a lie. Basically, you want to boil it down to the smallest common denominator, that's it right there. It's a lie. And yet for all this, they consider themselves better and more acceptable to God than these hypocrites at that church. It's abominable to me. Now, you want to talk about something that offends me? When some teenager out here running wild and drinking and whoring around and smoking dope, and then he runs his foolish mouth about good people who go to church, who do right, who haven't done him any wrong. That offends me very much. Makes me angry. Well, if it does that to me, what do you think it does to God? What were those verses I read there at the beginning? Let me find it here again. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But also to the wicked, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So now, who's in trouble and who's not? So, not only church members do this, but children do this to their parents. Same deal. Same deal. Are you listening to me? They follow the same exact pathway that I've described here and end up doing the same thing to their parents. Family members do this to relatives who are trying to serve God too. Family members do. Yeah. I don't have many, but I know I've got one family member that hates me. No reason that I know of. I do not know. I guess he's told some people, but they won't even tell me what he thinks that he has ought against me about. But whatever it is, it's not true. So, same path. What do you think the prodigal son told all his newfound friends in the far country when he arrived there about his father, about his elder brother, about that farm that he lived on? What do you think he told them? In the state that he was in, what do you think he told them about his dad? About his raising? About how he grew up? Well, you don't have to imagine very much. We know. What do you think the conversation was like between Judas and those who paid him money to betray Jesus? When he went and talked to them, what do you think he said about Jesus, about the other disciples? So this is the way it works, folks. That's what I'm telling you. And it not only happens to churches, it happens to parents and children, it happens to family members. Friends also do this. And this is going to happen until Jesus comes for his bride. And the church age is ended. It's impossible but that offenses will come. And the tale is told by how those offenses are handled. I've watched scores of young people and old people and families, as they were offended by something or someone in a church, and they forsook the ways of God and wasted and destroyed their lives and their children's lives in the wickedness of the world. I've watched them do it, scores of them. Leave the church, just like I've described, and in every single case, it happened just exactly like I've described it to you here. They got to making friends outside. Got to listening to other counsel from outside. Now it's even more dangerous than ever because of the social media and the internet, and then everybody's glued to their phones and their tablet or something, and they're drinking constantly out of the counsel of the ungodly. So you want to know what's killing the church? That's doing it more than anything else. And it's just not going to be shut off. You're never going to convince anybody to stop it. They're just not going to do it. So it's going to get worse. And the churches are going to dwindle more. And the godly are going to be more evil spoken of. The hypocrites are going to increase. And the God haters and the haters of God's people, they're going to increase more and more. I've also watched scores of faithful people who were falsely accused and slandered and lied about and treated with contempt and who suffered great loss because of it all, but have continued to be faithful in the same church with the same bunch of so-called hypocrites and live godly lives for the rest of their lives in spite of the fact that they were done so wrong. So how is it that these people stay in church and stay in the way and they don't go off drinking and ruin their family and scatter everything to the wind? And they got hurt, lied about. And then somebody else left the church angry because the preacher scolded their kid. Now which one's going to stand in the judgment? Which one would stand in any kind of righteous judgment of any kind? So, who are the real hypocrites? God knows, and He's promised to reveal them for all to see. It's a thing I've said for years, and it's the truest thing that I know of. Time is truth's best friend. Just wait and see. A lot of times it's hard to tell. A big ruckus, a big fuss between people. And sometimes it's hard to tell who's right and who's wrong and what was said and what wasn't said and what's true and not true. But all you got to do is wait. See which way they go. See which of the two parties follow the ways they go. You'll know. And it won't take too much time for that to reveal itself. And God has also given us plenty of scripture, truth, to identify the real hypocrites and commanded us to beware of them. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Beware of them guys. Psalm 31 verse 18, let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Everybody needs to learn to discern between the righteous and the wicked. Yes. Yep. It's all backwards. You know, the wicked are, you know, the people, what does it say? The people mourn when the wicked are exalted on every hand. When the wicked are in authority, the people mourn. Yeah. You know, when the wicked rise, everybody mourns about it. And so people can tell the difference. Proverbs 18 verse 5. It is not good to accept the person of the wicked to overthrow the righteous in judgment. People who stick with the stuff, they're the righteous. The ones who go, who forsake it all and go to the world, they're the wicked. Simple. And this, the children of God, the children of the devil are manifest. Do you know what that verse says before that? Well, I mean, he that committeth sin is of the devil. He that doeth righteousness, you know. That's how the difference is marked. The Bible says so. 1 John. Is that so hard for us? I mean, can you look at people who are unfaithful to everything about the work of God, the Word of God, the people of God? They hate them. They love the world. How can you believe that they're righteous? You got to believe a lie. So, Matthew chapter 7, verse 19, 20. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Now why did Jesus tell us that if that don't count? You can look at a person and see what their life is bearing. You know what fruit is? Fruit comes after the flower, doesn't it? What's the fruit? What's the end result? What is fruit? What is it good for? Well, it's nourishment for other people. It's food for other people. It helps other people. It's health and life for other people. It also has a seed in it that can bring forth the whole thing again. So what is the fruit of a person's life? That's what you need to look for. If it's evil fruit, what does it do? Well, it's poison. No good. Make you sick. Like what you get in the restaurants nowadays. Yeah. Me and Dad talked about it. I said, you know, we can stop if you want to, but man, I'm leery of everything now. Especially we was going by a sign that said New Bern, Tennessee. Yeah, well, I've heard a lot about that place, and I don't believe I wanted to stop at that McDonald's there. Nope. Come through Kennett, and Dakota was reading me the health department report about the McDonald's down there the other day. I said, no, I wasn't tempted to stop there either. Cockroaches and everything, and the health department shut it down. The health department took 3 days to clean it up and then let them open it back up on trial. See if they do it again. You reckon they'll do it again? Nope. Nope, nope. Evil fruit is poison. It'll kill you. When you see a person and you see all of the results of their life, death and destruction, hatred and... In the meantime, this is the counsel of Jesus to those who are falsely accused and hated. Matthew 5:11-12. We read it when we started here. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. It's been this way since the world began. The righteous are evil spoken of by evil people. People who speak evil against the righteous are speaking evil against God. I saw the other day somebody said, you know, this unbeliever said, well, which God are we supposed to believe in? And the answer was, the one you hate. Who's the real God, he said. What's the one you hate? Perfect answer. They know. Immediately they know. Just make sure that their accusations against you are false and not true. Just make sure that you're true and faithful. And that you don't hate people. And you don't run from people over offenses. We don't do that with our families, do we? Not really. Parents don't do that with their children. They don't say, well, I mean, not like the job you was talking about. You get one chance at this and the next time you're fired. You know, that kind of stuff. No, it don't work that way with God's people and in God's kingdom. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for helping us with this. Pray you'd make it clear to our minds and hearts. And I pray you'd help us to beware of this deceit of the devil in this matter. I can think of so many, even some we've talked about this week, whose lives are just absolutely destroyed. And they could have avoided it all. But they were offended because somebody challenged them about their wicked ways. And they were offended at that. And instead took it to the very limit and got themselves in such darkness that they don't know how to find a way out. Please help that there would be nobody here do that. None of these children, none of these young people, or anybody else. Help us, Lord, to stick to the stuff. Stick to the truth. Stick to the reality and to the people of God. With their faults and failings and their occasional offenses, help us, Lord, to forbear and forgive one another and not go out like these that we've pointed out that are not real. They went out from us because they were not of us, as the Bible says. I pray that there'd be nobody here tonight like that. Work in our hearts and help us, Lord, to learn these things and keep them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.